Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal's everywhere. Well, Sal's at minicamp. Sal's at your golf. Yeah, I saw Sal. I saw him at T-ball.
Wait a minute. The thing you were at for why you couldn't golf, yep. Sal was at, but he also golfed?
Apparently.
No one's able to do more things at one time than Sal. He's the man of all trades.
He might just own a helicopter and we don't know it.
Get to the chopper!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Big weekend at T-ball. Picture day, games.
Nice.
Lots going on. And, of course, mandatory minicamp for the Bills tomorrow.
Did you buy a Yankees hat yet?
I'm not buying a Yankees hat. I will point out, Sal, you'll appreciate this, my wife has a Yankees hat. She bought our daughter a Yankees hat. My son, of course, plays for the Yankees. And I am the holdout. I don't have a Yankees
Sal,
hat.
Sal, I've sent him some Yankees hats that actually are pretty. Like, you wouldn't even know it's a Yankees hat. And it's nice.
Yeah, listen, I know. I totally understand it because – I remember one year we were like, boy, we hope we don't get on the Red Sox. They have to wear Red Sox here, right? Like,
yeah.
You get, and every year, the way it works at Shoshone, where your kids are playing and my son, it's every age group that you go up, it's American League for one, National League for the next. We are currently in National League, so this year Max is on the Braves.
All right. Okay.
Last year, it was the Athletics, and it said Oakland on the jersey. Well, in real life, they're no longer. So they actually literally, I said, what are they going to do with that team? And they kept it. They just wrote Athletics on the jerseys.
Yeah. Well, Sal, like to the point about what you're going to wear, Yankee, Joe sent me a link to a Yankees hat that had, whatever, ocean waves
It was like a Fiji Yankees hat.
And
yeah.
I finally thought, you know what? I'll tell you the Yankee hat I would wear. It would have a Yankee logo on it, and then around the rest of the crown, it would say in big block letters, in T-ball only. You know? Because really, that's what it's about. I don't want anyone confusing me with a Yankee fan. That would be weird. It would be, wait a minute. I didn't know you were a Yankee fan. You're just walking down the street, and somebody says tries to tell me something about what Judge did or who's starting for the Yanks.
I'm like, listen, that's the best part.
I don't want to have this conversation with you. I don't like the Yankees. Anyway, go Yankees.
Yeah, I totally get that. So funny, right? Yeah.
Would you wear a Red Sox cap if Max was on the Sox?
You would not.
I mean, if I was I don't know. I'm not a big
cap. Here we go.
I didn't wear an Oakland jersey or a cap last year, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I wore a I think I would wear a regular cap if I did. So a lot of times I just don't wear a cap.
Yeah, right. I like it. All right, Sal. So mandatory minicamp for the Bills starts tomorrow. We're at the point where the James Cook, whatever. It's not quite a saga yet. It's been a slow burn here this offseason. And now with the latest from Adam Schefter is he does expect him to not be there for mandatory minicamp and says he might not be in Buffalo for quite some time. You know, looking at this one day out of where this would escalate to another stage, how are you feeling about James Cook's season this year? Not just where things stand right now, but where things could go. Like, how many different roads do you think this could take?
Well, I think it could take a lot of different roads. But I think the one thing that you still come back to is, and I think about a lot of what Brandon Bean has talked about, saying that, you know, James Cook, he's confident he'll be playing in a Buffalo Bills summit in 2025. And James Cook is under contract to the Buffalo Bills in 2025. I mean, that's the bottom line. He has a contract, and, you know, he can choose to play it a different way, and there's a lot of financial penalties that way. It rarely gets to that point in the NFL, and that's why I feel like it won't get to that point at some point. Right now, obviously the storyline is if he's there, if he's not, it's trending towards him not being there. And I think there's two parts of this, right? There's the Bills part, and there's James Cook's part. And there's a lot of talk about, well, what's he going to sacrifice? How much is he going to get fined? I don't know if James Cook and his representatives care about that right now, to be honest with you. Sure, I mean, at some level they care, right? But it's not a ton of money, and do the ends justify the means? Let's take it from the player's standpoint. Okay, if they miss, if they get fined, and, you know, eventually, hey, we're still going to make up this money for some contract we signed, whether that's by the Bills or somebody else or however this works out. So I don't know if that matters as much. And then you have the Bills side, which is, hey, this is mandatory. We want everybody here. And, of course, they do. They're not going to be happy that James Cook isn't at mandatory minicamp. But his teammates will also know, hey, he's been here 3 years. He knows the system. They'll say all the things that are supportive of him. So I think that, you know, right now you'll get that newsy stuff. But honestly, there's just kind of two sides to look at it. And it really doesn't come to a head until he gets training camp.
Sal, what do we know about the agent here? I'm, you know, Spotrick listed as Matthew Leiston. I'm seeing he's only negotiated one contract before. I just wonder if there's anything to that. You know, sometimes a player will fire their agent and get somebody bigger, like Drew Rosenhaus. I feel like he just closed somebody's deal after it wasn't working out for a while. And I don't know about Cook or much about his agent, but could that be part of what's at work here? Is you have an agent that, I don't want to say like the agent is leading the player the wrong direction, but they work in concert, and sometimes, you know, the agent might have an approach and the player is interested in that, or the agent wouldn't push back on something a player might be saying. I wonder if you have any thought on that, on who the agent might be, and if inexperience or a veteran agent might make things different.
So a lot of times they have agencies and they're repped by different people in the agency at different various points of their negotiations, for the marketing, their, you know, on-field product, whatever. So could be that specific guy, but it could be other people also for the agency. I will say this, though. It's a good point you bring up, because when I was at the Combine, you know, and this was starting to percolate a little bit and we were talking, I had asked a couple of people around in the NFL who've kind of dealt with agents before and these situations, and that was the one thing that was said to me a couple of times, which is James Cook has an agent that kind of – he has a reputation like this, like where, and I think Dalvin was his client as well. And I don't know. And again, it could be that specific person you're referencing, but Dalvin's client, there was another person. I can't remember the player. It was said to me that they went through a similar type of deal. And I mean, look, at the end of the day, James Cook is his own man and he's an adult and he can make decisions and say, no, I'm showing up. But I walked away from these conversations thinking a lot of this could very well be agent driven and saying, here, this is what you do. This is the playbook, right? This is how we're going to handle this. And that's kind of what I got. And then on top of that, you get Dalvin, who, you know, he's not shy about tweeting out numbers on social media and how he's acted. And he's got, it seems to me, this is my opinion now, it seems to me that James Cook has several people who are influencing him, giving him the playbook, telling him how to go about this. I'm not saying that he agrees or disagrees. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like this is just James Cook holding some firm line on his own and being, you know, kind of away from everybody and what they think.
Yeah, I wonder also how updated, Jeremy, this Spotrack profile is of the agent, because do you know who the one – you said he has one contract negotiated. Do you know who it is?
The NFLPA's website says he has one contract.
So does Spotrack. You know who the one player is?
No.
Caden Prather. The Bills' seventh-round rookie who just signed his rookie contract, like, what, a month ago? So I don't know, though, how experienced or unexperienced he is. Sal, I wonder how active this negotiation even is. Like, how much – this is kind of a guessing game, but I wonder how much of Cook, you know, if he skips mini camp and if whatever his next, you know, path takes. You mentioned Brandon Bean's comments. Does it feel like to you that this is a back and forth, or that it's maybe more of a dormant negotiation at this point in time?
It feels to me like it's more the latter, Joe. Not that they haven't talked necessarily. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But I don't think there's like offers going back and forth. Brandon Bean basically said to us at the owners' meetings, once they realized that, you know, they had this group of five, right, including Josh, so a group of four guys. I guess it would be group of five. Who signed the extensions? Rousseau, Shakir, Bernard, and...
Benford,
thank you. So yep. Four, five with Josh. So five total new guys, you know, guys on their expiring deals with James Cook. And what Brandon Bean essentially said, if you go back to the owners' meetings, was, you know, they made contact with all these guys. And once it became clear that they weren't going to get anything done with James Cook, they pivoted to the other guys. And then he basically said, I think he used the word next year. Like, we can get something done next year. Like, it seems to me like the Bills, from their side, from the messaging that we heard back then, was, yeah, we're kind of done with this. We're not really revisiting this. Now, that doesn't mean that James Cook can't come back and his agent go, okay, listen, this is gone. We've made our point, but we can come down. And then you never know how those conversations go. But I don't get the sense that this is actively back and forth, anything like that, as far as numbers are concerned.
Mandatory minicamp opens tomorrow. Some of the potential next steps could involve a hold-in, a trade request. I mean, this time of year is tough to get a trade. I mean, we've seen some players use that. Jonathan Taylor is one. And Sal, I've seen a little bit about he might have to report to camp anyway because of the way that the CBA works, and that's why hold-ins have become more of a thing. It's not necessarily to get rid of a fine, but just because there's some language in the CBA that in order for your contract to toll, you have to be at camp. So he could be there, and then it gets awkward if he's there and holding in. So, I mean, lots of different ways this whole thing could go.
Yeah, and we thought, I mean, even mandatory minicamp, maybe he's here and he's holding in, right? I mean, that you get to camp, you could hold in. And it does become awkward and it does become weird. It becomes a story. And let's remember, Hard Knocks cameras are going to be a training camp, right? That becomes even more of a story. So, yeah, there's a lot of different ways that this could go. I mean, I think that he won't be here this week based on what we're hearing now. But if he is, I'd be even more surprised. And okay, he's there. Then the next step is, does he actually participate in anything? And I don't know. At this point, it just doesn't seem like that's the case. It seems like it's more of a statement right now. But how far does that statement continue to go once you get to training camp? But you're right, Jeremy. There's a lot of ways that this could play out. That some have much more higher financial significance than others do.
Feels like one quick thing here. I want you to, if you could remember what McDermott said about him. A lot of this is, you know, fans saying, oh, whatever, Cook, you know, they'll be fine without him. But the complimentary side of his game is the way McDermott talked about him after the season, being a dog, being laser-focused. And, you know, Sal, like, we could talk about how the GM does the contracts, and but the team's having internal discussions. And, you know, McDermott, the arc he would have taken himself on Cook and Cook proving himself, this contract aside, Cook to me strikes me as another one of these guys that player development, early on they might not have liked his practice habits or trusted him in that way, and he went from that when they drafted him to the coach really just raving about him at the end of the season this last year.
Yeah, I agree. You know, what's interesting about a lot of the discussion or, you know, how people are perceiving a lot that's happening here is, there's a difference between the Bills don't want to sign James Cook or they don't want to sign him for what he wants, right? I mean, like, I think the Bills want to sign James Cook. I do. I think they want to have him in Buffalo beyond 2025. I think it comes down to the value they want to sign him for. And a lot of the reason why they want to sign him, Jeremy, is what you just said, which is this is a player they drafted, they developed. He's been very good for them. He's very good for their system, their offense. He means a lot to them. How much, you know, but when you compare it to other players, what those players mean to their offenses, three players in this league make $15 million or more at that position: Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, and Saquon Barkley. And the Bills want to sign him. They don't want to sign him for that kind of money. There's a big difference there. But yes, I think that as much as we talk about how much the Bills over the years, and I'll be the first to tell you, I don't think the Bills believe in spending all these premium, you know, assets on running back. It's more like, hey, we draft a guy. Yeah, second round, that's it. You could say that's a really good asset, but draft a guy, use him, let him go somewhere else. Doesn't mean that that's a hard and true rule if your guy is good enough and demonstrates everything you just said, which is he did everything for us that we wanted. He's been a dog. He was laser focused. But it still comes a point where how much is too much, though, to do that. So I think that people sometimes, I get people who say, well, why don't the Bills want to sign James Cook or the Bills don't want to sign him? I don't think that's true at all. The Bills want to sign James Cook. They just don't agree with the value that he places on himself.
Sal Capaccio with us on the Western Hotline. Sal, we got a call last hour about this. Connor McGovern's going into the last year of his deal, and he's got a $9.8 million cap hit right now. Would you almost guess that is being talked about right now? Do you think they would go into the last year with his number being that high? Because I know we've talked about how they still are pretty up against the cap. So all this Cook talk about contracts and negotiations. How much do you think they're thinking about contract stuff with their interior line, especially McGovern?
I'm sure it's something they've discussed. There's a lot of levers you can always look at. That's maybe, but they've already pulled a bunch, right, by these extensions and pushing money out and, you know, how you want to lower some caps and things like that. So that's another lever they can pull, Joe. I think the question would be, you know, hey, if we do that, are we comfortable with Connor McGovern, our long-term starting center for the next few years, or, hey, we'll let him play this out because we have a guy behind him on a rookie contract and Cedric Van Fran Granger and another guy in Alec Anderson who we really like who can play center. Right? I mean, they have a really nice offensive line with some depth. So, yes, I think that because Connor McGovern's a good player for them, they like having him and that number is there, I think that that's very possible. I also don't think it has to be something there necessarily, oh, my God, we need to do this, because maybe they really like the guys behind him and say, we can let him play out this deal and we can get a little bit cheaper next year.
Sal Capaccio, minicamp, mandatory minicamp starts tomorrow. One last thing for you, Sal. We had a person in the YouTube chat ask about Trey White and how things have looked for him so far. So what you have seen from Trey White and what maybe teammates and coaches have said about him, how does Tre'Davious White look coming back to the Bills? He was not gone for very long. It feels like he was gone for a little bit longer than he was. But what do you think about the Bills' veteran corner in terms of his potential to make a difference for them this year?
Well, first of all, I'll say that you don't see any effects of the injuries, right? Like, it's not like, A, you don't see anything in his natural movements or anything like that. You're like, oh, yeah, he's recovering. B, it's not like he's out there with, you know, a bunch of stuff wrapped up on his feet or his legs or stuff like that. And some guys have wraps anyway. They're not dealing with injuries, but, you know, he's not like that. And then also, guys, the thing I've been most impressed with, he's always on the field. He's playing in a lot of – he's out there like everybody else, right? It's not like they're – doesn't seem to me like they're backing off him in any way. At his age, he wants to be out there. This is going to be a fascinating kind of battle, I think. I do think right now it's a battle for the number two cornerback job, and it's Tre'Davious White because of, you know, him being Tre'Davious White and coming back, and he's been this All-Pro before, and he might not be now, and we'll see. But it's also Max Harrison because of what you spent on him, first-round pick. He should have this pedigree to be able to start on a team that has basically an opening at that particular position. And I think this is going to be a good battle to watch. Now, maybe someone else sneaks up in there. I think it's between those two, and you know, we'll see where it goes. How has he looked? Hey, look, I mean, it's been a little uneven, but it's always going to be, I think, a non-pad situation when you have to cover, you know, Elijah Moore down the field, and there's no real pass rush, and there's no hitting or contact. And, you know, he gets beat. He got beaten a crosser a couple of weeks ago, Elijah Moore, and Trey was very upset at himself. He was down the field, whatever. At the same time, you know, there's times where I see him, he's right in the mix, making the play. So, yeah, I think it's very interesting watching him here, but I think we are definitely in for a cornerback number two battle when we get to camp, and we'll see where it goes.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. All right, Sal. We'll chat tomorrow and through the week, and we'll see where things go with James Cook.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
All right, thank you. Sal and I played in the Bills Media Golf Tournament together. I should have brought that up. Good team. We had a good team.
You won longest drive?
I did win longest drive.
That's always a good feeling.
You know what?
There might even be a better feeling than winning like a closest to the pin.
Closest to the pin.
Because longest drive, like, you know, you're flexing when you go into the clubhouse after winning longest drive.
Yes, I would say two things. One on closest to the pin and one on longest drive. I did win longest drive. But, you know, longest drive has to be in the fairway. So I've no doubt that people would have blasted it past mine, but just missed in the fairway. And me winning longest drive on that day, Friday, mm-hmm. would have been kind of like watching a guy at the combine run a 4.3. Like, wow, this guy must be great.
Uh-huh.
And then you go dig into the tape, and you're like, well, you know what? Actually, not that good.
His play speed is...
I guess he had a good run.
Yeah.
But whatever, you're right. It is nice. It was pretty cool, so I was glad to win that. Closest to the pin, here's what I would say about that. So we played at Glen Oak. We were at number two. Mm-hmm. It's a par three. Number two is the closest to the pin. So, we're, you know, it's a gettable, short-ish par three.
Yeah.
We all hit our tee shots, and nobody's close. Like, all right, nobody's going to win this. We go up and we look at the name on the card and the distance.
Okay.
And it was Spencer Brown, 18 inches.
Wow.
Which immediately made me feel not bad at all for not getting it close.
No.
And I almost wonder, would you like to know the leader in the clubhouse when you're on the tee? All right, guys, here's the closest to the pinhole, and the lead is blank.
Yeah.
Would you want to know? 18 inches is the current score on the clubhouse.
What were they using to mark the closest to the pin?
Well,
was it off the green?
It was off the green, and there's a tape measure. So you go off the green. Yeah, you didn't see that.
See, that's different than, so I had my member at Tri this weekend in Tri-County, and what they have, like, signs, like these metal signs with, like, a little, like, piece of paper that attaches to it, like a little clipboard, and then you put that, that's like a stake, you put that where your ball was.
See, sometimes people do that.
Yeah.
I feel like you're supposed to write it down and leave it off the green.
Okay, but there was no tape measure.
Okay, well, in that case, you don't
have a choice. So I think you were meant to do this.
You don't have a choice. They should give you a tape measure.
Which I thought to myself, because I had experienced this where one shot, this thing's not like that small. Like, it's the size of a clipboard, you know, like on top of a stake. Make sure, if you have closest to the pin, turn it so that it's not likely to play defense again. Because
wait a minute.
On one hole, if it's turned the right way, it's like a backboard. Like,
that's right.
If I hit that thing, it's metal. It's gonna smoke it, and it's probably gonna go 15 yards backwards off the green. So, you know, turn it. It still could hit it, but if it's turned the right way, then it's like a, you know, it's a sliver as opposed to like this giant backboard. Unless it's behind the pin, then I might want you to put it that way because then it is like a backboard.
Right. 803-0550. Fun with golf tournaments. We had a good time. All right, coming up. I had instant trivia. I can wait on it. I can wait on it, though. I've got a good instant trivia for all of you. A little bit different format. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Matt Parrino, an hour from now, we'll get his thoughts on James Cook and also his review of Patchy Mix's debut in the UFC. He lost on a decision. It was not a particularly close decision. It felt pretty inevitable. So Patchy Mix's debut in the UFC did not go as he might have liked it, but we'll see where it goes from here and get Matt Parrino's review of it. So local guy who's very good, and they talked him up quite a bit, and he just didn't really seem to have it on Saturday night. So Matt Parrino, an hour from now. Your phone calls, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. When we return, I've got another running back, another NFL running back who may take the next step to a Hall of Fame career.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And then we gonna suck regardless, bro. Hey man, give me one more year, the brother, man. He the best player we had, bro. The best player. I mean, he deserved better. I mean, he at least deserved a send off here. I don't care, man. But they gonna suck, bro. And plus, the dudes gonna be making the decisions next time. I don't trust these cats. They should have been gone.
That's a caller to the Ken Carmen Show that's upset about Nick Chubb leaving the Browns. Chubb's going to go to the Texans pending a physical. He is, no exaggeration here, one of the best running backs ever.
Mm-hmm.
And could he get an Adrian Peterson bounce back situation?
Maybe. He's a couple years older, I think, than Peterson was.
And last year, Chubb came back and didn't really look like himself. He didn't look very good. Of course, not on a good team, but... Yeah. Now he's going to go to the Texans.
When Peterson came back from his torn knee, he was 27 years old, and Chubb will be, he's 29, so it's still a two-year difference, but he has 5 yards per carry every full season of his career. Last year, it was only 8 games, but it was 3.3.
Yeah, that's tough.
Not the Nick Chubb that you're used to.
Is he good enough to make the will he make the Hall of Fame?
He should make.
He
the
should.
Hall of
I
Fame.
Agree. He should make the Hall of Fame.
I think I'd want to guess that he will too. I don't know though. This
his teams never went anywhere.
This is going to be an interesting bar for Hall of Fame running backs of this past 10, 15 years because Barkley's, these guys don't run it as much right. as they did in the 80s. Like the numbers aren't going to compare to Emmitt Smith and Walter Payton.
That's
and,
right.
Like there's more. Splitting the backfield, guys' careers are shorter, right? Like, Derrick Henry's in. Peterson will make it.
Peterson, Henry.
And I don't know that I want to
Barkley.
Bank,
you could bank on Barkley.
Bank it?
Yep. He's got a 2,000-yard season. He has a Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Bank it. Barkley's going in.
Is Marshawn Lynch in?
I don't know.
He has a Super Bowl.
Did you say McCaffrey?
I did not say McCaffrey.
Would you say McCaffrey?
See, that's where like I don't know what they're how many of these guys are they going to put in?
That's a good question.
Then are they going to put them all in? Chubb should get in over a lot. Like Chubb should get in over almost everybody we just said, except maybe like Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
I don't know that he will. He should. He's an all time back that's also played on like the worst teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's better than Barkley. But his career he is a better running back for his career than Saquon Barkley is. No.
Maybe.
There's a lot of numbers when Barkley was at the Giants that were like, you know, he's good, but he's not like the best running back in the world. And Chubb, it was like, oh, he's overcoming how bad the Browns are, and he's still unbelievable.
The thing I would wonder is, like, what was Chubb's signature moment? They don't really have one.
That's a good
point. And Derrick Henry has 10. If you can think of your Derrick Henry watching days, like, oh, the 99-yard run, the 87-yard run, running through people, stiff arms, everything he does. Barkley has a Super Bowl. Barkley jumped over a dude backwards. I know that sounds crazy to say, like, you don't make the Hall of Fame based on that, but signature moments are what win you awards.
See, Chubb might have some of those, though, and I just don't know because he's been stuck in Cleveland.
Right, that's right. I think McCaffrey is a yes. I think McCaffrey gets in. He's been one of, if not the best, backfield weapon in the league multiple times.
Yeah.
So I've got three in McCaffrey, Henry, and Barkley that probably go in. Chubb, I want to think, will get the credit he deserves. And that's why if it goes well in Houston, he could further push that along. But, man, he's got a big road or whatever, big hill to climb after last year's 3.3. Did not go well.
See, this is where, like, I'm looking at the Hall of Fame monitor right now at Pro Football Reference, and they're going to have to make – there's going to have to be a reset of what it takes to be a Hall of Fame running back because running back Hall of Fame – like the monitor at Pro Football Reference, the average score is 107. Okay? 107 is like Marshall Faulk. Derrick Henry is 54.3. Less than half of what the average back in the league. I don't know how that's, but Barkley's at 38. Like a third of what the average Hall of Fame running back ends up at. So Marshawn Lynch, 68.
But that's
like,
isn't that part of your point that the average Hall of Fame running back, yeah.
Because all of these guys are rushing for, Walter Payton, 4,000 yards, some of them. And, wait, not 4,000 yards, more than that. 18,000 yards is really what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And Henry's into his 30s, been great the whole time. He's at 11. Like 6,000-7,000 yards less than the all-time backs. So
yeah, you have to adjust the running back numbers down and the quarterback numbers up because you're going to get so many quarterbacks that put up huge passing stats that don't belong in the Hall of Fame.
I guess I don't know then if Chubb will actually get in. Does he have to do more? I don't know that he should. I think he's been great, all-time great his whole career, but he might have to do more because what are they going to look at? They're going to look at a guy had 6,800 yards for his career in Cleveland, never a good team. Why does he have to be a Hall of Famer? Tell me about his yards per carry.
Yeah.
Like, that's you have to start getting into the weeds a little bit to kind of show how good he was. So, he might have to do more. And he's going to a team that already has a starter.
803-0550, our phone number, if you want to join us. James Cook and the mandatory minicamp story. We'll get the next stage in that tomorrow. Adam Schefter reporting. The two sides are very far apart, and he does not think Cook will be here tomorrow for the start of mandatory minicamp. I have some trivia. I have some other trivia now, too. I mean, this conversation led me a different direction, but I can't decide what to do. Anyway, Chubb did the Texans. So there you go. Nick Chubb to the Texans.
There's a quarterback situation that's been developing in the last week that's really interesting to me, and it's in that same division.
Anthony Richardson hurt again?
Yeah. So Shane Steichen made more comments about him this weekend. Richardson's got a shoulder injury. He said it's the same AC joint sprain type of injury that knocked him out of the season 2 years ago, and that there's no timetable for his return, and that whenever he even does come back, they are going to ease him into throwing again.
Which means it's Danny Dimes season?
Yeah. Doesn't it also mean that, like, are they done? Are they done with Richardson?
It might be over.
Already?
I felt like it was over a long time ago. Some of the numbers on him and his completion percentage, and just he's got the big arm, and he can make...
And he's accurate with it. Yeah, he's one of the best deep ball passers in the league. He had more yards per attempt than Mahomes last year. He had the highest yards per completion in football.
Yeah, but you just can't live if you can't make the short stuff.
Right.
You can't make it.
Right.
With only the big throws.
And he also had a winning record last year as a starter. But right, 47% completion percentage. He's still 20. He just turned 23. They put a fourth overall pick into him 2 years ago. He started 15 games. I guess they're done. I mean, the injury kind of plays into it as well. My bigger question for them will always be, how much did him taking himself off the field play into it? Was that the beginning of the end? Was it going to end anyway? Because the numbers were so bad and he couldn't do a lot of the easy stuff, you know, the on-schedule type of throws. He couldn't read defenses. Was it going to end anyway? Or did this all start because he checked himself out of a game? And that's a big no-no in the NFL. You can't do that.
Yeah. You lose the benefit of the doubt.
He lost his job that second, right? He didn't play the next week.
Yep.
Who played the Bills? Joe Flacco played against the Bills because they took him out. So he's an interesting story to me because he is... I want to believe that there is still a good player in there. Who can harness that? He made the best pass in the league last year. He threw a 70-yard pass over the defense to Alec Pierce. And he runs the ball really well. He's a crazy athlete. And again, even though he was horrible at all the shorts and intermediate stuff, he was completing passes down the field. Someone has got to be able to harness that, right?
Someone will believe they can.
But what is that going to look like? Is he going to get traded for a day three pick and go be a backup somewhere?
Yes.
Or is somebody going to make him their plan?
Won't he be what Trey Lance is, where someone says, let's get him in our building and see what happens? I mean,
That guy never got back in, though.
That's right.
That guy never got in the first place.
It becomes a low risk, high reward potential bet. And, of course, the Bills aren't a team that's going to have to make that bet. But somebody will. Won't the Dolphins make that bet? Won't the Jets make that bet? Won't the Saints? Somebody will make that bet. They'll try.
You know, you say that. The Bills did make an offer on Trey Lance.
That's right, they did.
That was reported. If they made an offer on Trey Lance, will they make one on Anthony Richardson?
No.
What's different?
I don't know, but they just won't. I don't know.
Well, different might be they have two backups under contract right now.
Right, and does he play golf with Josh?
I mean, was Trey Lance going to play golf with Josh? Either way, it doesn't matter. You're right. Like, a team, did you say Miami?
I said Miami.
Miami feels like a team that would make sense for. Somebody with a coach that's going to look at that, loved him in the draft process, and think, he just needs a change of scenery. He's 23 years old. Let me work with him for a year. Because he's got gifts that almost no other quarterbacks in the league have. It's not even just the arm strength and the athleticism. He's 6'5 doing it. How many guys are, other than Josh Allen, how many guys are that big, can throw it that far, and can run that fast?
Not many.
I'm not sure there is another one. And I would be really tempted. If I were Kevin O'Connell or some coach that thinks I'm a quarterback whisperer, I know how to get the most out of these guys, and I see all of that talent, I'm going to want that guy.
But the best scenario he's getting, probably, if he doesn't get a job back in Indianapolis, is just he gets into camp in a competition, and
right,
it's tough. Like, when you are drafted, you get some time, some benefit of the doubt time, and now it's like, sorry, you're competing with, who's the right name I want for this?
You want a rookie?
No, I want a veteran guy who's gonna beat him out because the coach is desperate and has to win some games. You're competing with Mac Jones, and you lost. Mac Jones is our starter. You know, like that's
right.
That's his future, maybe. 803-0550, have some instant trivia to get you. A U.S. Open preview as well with Oakmont on the docket this weekend. We'll get things started on Thursday for the U.S. Open. That's exciting. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring. Matt Parrino, 830 on the James Cook situation and Patchy Mix's UFC debut as well. It's all coming up here on WGR. All right, I've got a little instant trivia. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Some football trivia.
Okay. So
this is one of those ones where it's not, hey, who are the five this, you know, a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask it this way. How many guesses do you need to tell me which NFL team last year finished with the fewest explosive plays?
I bet I could get it within five.
Okay, hold on.
Five guesses.
Let me redefine. It's not exactly explosive plays. It's plays of 25 yards or more.
Okay.
So that's it because explosive runs and explosive passes are different depending on blah, blah. So yeah, right. What team had the fewest 25-plus yard plays last year? You can get it in five. We'll do a little name that tune. You want five?
Yes, I think I can get it in five.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Owen, Josh, you guys want to? Anyone want to say they can do it in four?
I don't think I could get it in four.
Okay,
I'll take
it. I'm shot. Also right. I think five is a safe
right.
bet.
Yeah. Joe, you have five
cowards.
Guesses. You have five guesses to find. Tell me which team finished with the fewest 25-plus yard plays last year.
The New York Giants.
29. That is not correct. 1, 2, 3, 4. Five teams had fewer.
All right.
The team that finished in last had 10 fewer than the Giants.
Woo! Thinking of the bad teams from last year. So the Titans finished in last, but Will Levis was a crazy person. He probably had a few. I'm not going to guess them. How about the Raiders?
Raiders, 32 25-plus yard plays. More than the Giants. About 10 teams finished behind the Raiders.
See, the other thing you got to do here is you got to play the player a little bit. Why is he asking the question? The answer has to be somewhat good.
Okay. Decent theory.
I feel like it being the Bills, though, is too good. It's not going to be the Bills, right?
It's definitely not the Bills.
It's not the Bills.
The Bills finished.
Just making sure.
Fifth in the league. Sixth.
Oh, that's good. It's really good.
In this department. 25-plus yard plays. Looking for the team that finished last.
All right. How about...
You're two guesses in, right? You have three more.
Yeah. How about Jacksonville?
Jacksonville tied with the Giants. 29.
These are all close.
Two guesses left. The team that finished in last had 10 fewer than Jacksonville.
It's not Indy. We just talked about that. It's not... Not Cincinnati, obviously. It's Cleveland. Cleveland. Who's playing quarterback last year for Cleveland? That's Watson goes out. Who's their quarterback last year? Winston. Oh, it's not Cleveland. No chance. It's not with Jameis. How about the Jets?
30 plays of 25 plus yards or more. That's four guesses.
All in the bottom five, huh?
No.
No? Those weren't all in the bottom five?
None. You've not yet got a bottom five team.
Wait, really?
Nope.
Oh, you were giving me the ranking. You were giving me the number of plays.
That's right. There are five teams below every team you have named so far.
How about Kansas City?
29. You still have not found the bottom five. Cleveland was second.
Wait, Kansas City the same amount as the Giants?
Yes.
That's funny.
And the Jaguars, yes.
Brutal.
Cleveland second from the bottom.
So Cleveland was the only one that was really close?
Yep. All right. Looks like you've not won the game.
No, I have not.
You prepared for me to give you the answer?
Yeah, I guess. So, one more. The Bears.
No, the Bears had 34. The bottom five in explosive plays last year of 25-plus yards or more, according to Warren Sharp, who put this out yesterday. Fifth worst, Arizona.
Okay.
Fourth worst, New England.
Oh, okay.
Third worst, this will be a shocker to you, the Rams.
Wow.
Yep.
They must have been crazy efficient.
Yes, yes. Second worst, Cleveland. And the fewest plays of 25 yards or more. By a lot, only 19 plays of 25 yards or more last year.
Yeah.
Miami Dolphins.
No
way. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins number one.
No way.
The Miami Dolphins.
How? Did they lead the league the year before?
I have to ask Warren Sharp. I thought you were going to say they lead the league in 24-yard plays.
Dolphins?
The Dolphins were last in the league in 25-plus yard
plays.
Wow. There you go.
I mean, Tua only missed four games.
Look at Tyreek Hill's numbers. Remember Tyreek Hill,
Jalen Waddle, Devin Achane. They had a track team. And they couldn't get more than 25 yards? Right. I mean, Hill went down. His numbers got cut in half.
Yeah. Remember, Hill had that stretch where he didn't have a 20-plus yard catch for like half a season.
Yeah, that's right. Remember that. So and Waddle was hurt all year, so I guess that did to that up.
All right. 803-0550. The latest on James Cook when we return. And Matt Perino, 8:30 on Cook. And Patchy Mix's UFC debut at 8:30. It's all coming up with plenty more along the way on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.